We're happy to have with us John Munskelvin. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Douglas.
It's good to have you here.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere.
Somebody just called a little while ago and wanted to know if you were going to be on this afternoon. They wanted to make sure they had the radio on.
Maybe they won't be so happy after.
No, not when you call them funny names or something.
Afterward, well, I wouldn't call
would
them
you?
Funny names. No, anybody that listened to it. The fans, I would.
I don't know. What if Rep Ruprecht's relatives are listening?
I don't think they would be. I never knew who Ruprecht's relatives were. I can't remember of him having any relatives.
Well, and I think they abandoned him when he invented that motor and it made so much racket.
Yeah. And well, you know, I thought I'd get up here 29 minutes after instead of half fast. So that we could plan this program.
That's right. It's important that we do a lot of preparation here. You know, we just don't want to go running into anything.
I did bring along some copies of some pictures, some postcards that we've accumulated over the years. Different people have accumulated them. And somebody had the thought of having a film made of them and made copies. I don't know where this thing is anymore, where the film is. We've made several copies, and these are copies of copies. But I don't want anybody to think I'm advertising for Oaks, Dornbus, and Crimmins right now, because this is the,
this? This is for Hermes.
Looking back, but
yep.
I ran across the other day, we have the old lighthouse for sale. I'm getting a plug for ourselves.
Where's the old lighthouse?
I don't mean to be advertising.
No.
That's out on Harbor Avenue, 900 Harbor Avenue. And it's pretty hard to take a picture of it because it's on a hill and you can't get, and it's so much, there's so much shrubbery around it, you can't get close to it. So Phyllis said, where in the world could we get a picture of it? And I pulled out this whole bunch of pictures of postcards, and I said, here is a picture of it. And this was laying on my desk as I left. There it is, as it was the lighthouse. And
well, it's not there anymore, is it, John?
Sure it's there, but this is it now.
Well, it doesn't have...
The lighthouse has been taken off from it, and somebody's added this section, and it's now three families, but she said, well, you can't get a picture of it. Well, I said, then I'll give you this one. She wanted to show it to somebody.
Is that up in Highland Park? Or
it's before you get to Highland Park.
I see.
It's there. But was
that lighthouse used?
Oh, sure. Sure. I can remember it when it was this way, when it had the light on.
Well, the one out on the pier?
They've got that up there. Of course, they quit using this, and then they built the one out on the pier, yes.
Oh, is this before there was
a
pier?
This was before that. Well, I don't know. I presume that there was a pier there, but the light wasn't there when they used this. Now, I've often thought, here this thing is way up on the land and up on the hill, and I suppose they could see it for a long ways. But I've often thought... supposing a boat tried to go up near the lighthouse, they'd be beached.
If they aimed at that.
But I remember Bud Poole telling about finding coal down there that was supposed to have come out of a barge that was tipped over. Now, this sounds to me like a fairy tale, but...
You mean a barge came way up on the land here?
Well, the land went into the lake, or the lake went down, one or the other, however you want to say it. But they said when they were digging for sewer or a water line there, they found coal that was supposed to have come off of a barge.
Now, is that, you mean near that lighthouse?
Near this lighthouse.
No kidding.
So it must not have been as far, that is, the lake must have been up much, much higher at one time. Than it was.
Now, John, did that lighthouse have a foghorn in it, too?
I don't think so.
Just had a light,
just
huh?
A light, yeah. Well, see what they've done. They've added this whole section and made it into a three family.
Now, was that, did that have electric light in it?
I think that was a kerosene oil, because that's before we had a light plant.
What kind of light are you going to get from a kerosene lamp up there in a lighthouse?
Well, if you got enough magnifying glasses around it, lenses, I suppose it was.
Is that how they operated that, I suppose,
sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
You didn't know anybody that worked up in there?
No,
there, lived
no,
in it?
No. But what they did, the government owned it until not too long ago, and it was the lighthouse keeper's residence. I remember when Bavery lived up there. He was the last lighthouse keeper that I know of that lived up. No, it wasn't either. Rollo Parris was. Rollo Parris lived up there till he quit, retired from the lighthouse service.
Well, what lighthouse did he work in then?
Worked on the one. Yeah, he kept the one on the pier.
Well, what did they do? Go out there? What did they sit in that thing?
Somebody had to watch that thing, see that it worked. Yeah. It's all automatic now.
Yeah, but would they go sit in it?
Suppose so. Sure, the lighthouse now is on top of the foghorn.
Yeah.
And there's quite a cabin up there. It used to be that when they let you walk up there on top of on the tramway, you could walk up there and go in there.
In the lighthouse?
Oh, yeah. When you'd go and visit with a lighthouse keeper, the kids would. Like, that'd be a nice walk on a Sunday afternoon.
I bet.
Take a walk out on the pier and then go up on the tramway and go in the lighthouse. Especially in the fall of the year, it was nice and warm in there.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a long time ago.
I didn't realize that you could ever get in there. Did you go inside there?
Oh, sure.
Well, I'd love to go in a lighthouse once. I've never been in a lighthouse.
I presume that the only way you could get in there today is to call the Coast Guard and let you take a...
Well, now, how come this other guy ran that lighthouse and lived over here on the shore? Hasn't the Coast Guard always run the lighthouses?
No.
They didn't,
no.
Huh? Well, who ran it? Who did he for whom did he work?
What was it? Department of Commerce and Department of the Interior, or one of the other departments?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Talking about that, why don't you call the Coast Guard someday, and you and I'll go out there and walk along the tramway and
go in that thing.
Go in that thing.
Think they'll let us?
Yeah, I think so. If you make an appointment with the Coast Guard, that'd be a good thing.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
And, yeah, and you could. You could write a modern, or you could make a modern editorial on it instead of years back.
That's still the same old lighthouse, though,
sure,
isn't it?
It's been remodeled so that it's automatic.
I'm not too wild about going out on that thing.
Oh, that's not bad.
Isn't it?
No. That's good and safe. That's good and solid. I wouldn't want to walk out there in a storm like these. Was when these kids were drowned because the waves splash up over it. But on a day, well, even like today, that'd be perfectly all right.
Would it?
But it'd be a lot nicer when the sun's shining on both sides of the fence, as I always say. But
I don't understand why they put that special walkway there anyway. But why couldn't you just walk all the way?
Well, that was there for the lighthouse tender, so that he could walk up there no matter what the weather was.
Oh.
Sure. Because some days...
Well, those storms hit that thing, too, if it's a bad storm.
Well, not that bad.
Don't they?
No, he might get his trousers wet, but he could walk on there. There's a railing on there. No, that's perfectly safe.
So then the government would provide him with that house over there on shore, huh?
That's right, yeah. Now, as I say, it's all automatic, and the Coast Guard takes care of it. Yeah.
Did he have any radio equipment or anything out there, or what? I don't understand.
He must have had... The first radio that I remember was up was on the beach at the Oval, in what's now the Oval, and that was a wireless. They didn't call it radio in those days. It was wireless.
Wireless
had a big aerial that two big towers, maybe 100-150 feet high, and they probably stretched for 400 or 500 feet, and there was four or five wires between them. You'd think it was a big electric light plant, and that was Marconi was the inventor of it, and the wireless. That was the first wireless. Sure.
Well, where did they? What did they?
What
talk to, or what did they listen to
the
on
boats.
The wireless? To the boats.
Sure, that's when they first began to get wireless on the boats.
Well, who operated this wireless? Was that
the same
government?
Well, it was a fellow by the name of Eddie Vanderveer, as I recall, was the first one and the only one that I can remember that ran that. And he was he was a young fellow in those days.
Yeah.
He's dead now. Passed away a good many years ago.
Did he work for the government or what? Why did he have that big wireless?
I presume it was the government, but that was the wireless, and then they had a little square cement block building down there, and that was where they had the equipment. And that was on what? Well, that was there even after they built the Oval. So I don't know how many years ago that was. The Oval went in there in about 20s, mm-hmm. early 20s, and that was still there then.
Wow. So, I understand that.
Yeah.
And now, is that when all those buildings were up on the hill there, too? Weren't there some old barracks?
Those barracks in Mulligan's Hollow?
Yeah.
That was during the World War II. That was a Coast Guard training camp.
Oh.
We had quite a few Coast Guard recruits there, and it was a training camp there.
Well, then, was that rifle range part of that project?
The rifle range was long before that.
Oh, was it?
Rifle range was was used by the Company F.
What's Company F?
Company F is now, I believe, Company A.
Oh, the National Guard?
National Guard.
How long ago was that, John?
When that was a rifle range in there.
Mm-hmm. For Company F.
Oh, 40 or 50 years ago.
Really?
Like that. Yes. I think in this bunch of pictures is a picture of that side of Five Mile Hill when it was... Well, here it is. There's a picture. That's the opposite side of Five Mile Hill from Mulligan's Hollow, and that was the rifle range, and then, of course, they shot, and their shells went into the... or their slugs went into the mm-hmm. hill. Couldn't damage anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they missed the target.
Why'd they ever call that Five Mile Hill, John?
That's a good question. Let's ask the public if anybody knows. I suppose because the hill ran for 5 miles at least. It runs way, if you figure it out, it runs way up past Rosie Mount.
Right.
So I suppose it never was 5 miles high, but there's a hill along there, well, all the way up past Rosie Mount. It's mm-hmm. all the same.
Has it always been called Five Mile Hill, as far as you know?
I remember, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. The rifle range was down in here, and Mulligan's home was back in there. Of course, well, the hill's still there, but it isn't as high as it used to be. So the years have taken care of that with the wind.
Well, the dunes move, don't they?
Those
hills move over the years.
Yeah, they sure do.
What are some of those other pictures you got there?
Well, here's Central Park, the fountain, Central Park. As it was.
They've had a park there that long.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a fountain in that park?
Mm-hmm. That's been there as long as I can remember.
Did it work?
Sure, it still does.
Yeah, it's a pretty little fountain now, but I figured maybe that was a relatively new mechanism.
No. They used to have goldfish in that pond.
No, did they?
Yeah, they put goldfish in the pond.
They didn't come squirting through the fountain, though, did they? The fish?
No. Oh, no. But in that pond, they... And, of course, they kept fresh water in it because that fountain worked all the time.
Yeah.
So the water kept was always fresh water. There's Akeley Hall in the back of it. Just see the background there?
Yeah.
That's where they...
And the firemen used to take care of that, didn't they, John?
Yeah. That's where the old fire station was, or that is the building they now mm-hmm. use for the... what do they call it? The... retired people.
Yeah. John, look at how little those trees are. Central Park, then. That's those great big giant trees that are there
right.
now.
Yeah, that's right.
What a difference, huh?
Yeah.
Now, when was that picture taken, do you think, of that fountain? And I don't see a
There's
date.
No date on it, but I would say probably in 1910 or something.
Really?
Yeah. I would say the bandstand was there. See the bandstand?
Where?
That platform there.
Oh, was that the bandstand?
That was the bandstand. The band used to give concerts there every, Wednesday or Thursday night.
Really?
Yeah. There were lights around there so the band musicians could see their music. And
did the people like that?
Did they like it? That was really a big deal.
Is that right?
Yes, it was. That park would be full of people, and there was a lot of dates made there.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yes.
I
met my wife there.
Did you really?
Yeah, at a band concert.
Well, now, did the same band play there every week?
Yes, that was a Grand Haven concert band, and when they quit, then the Elks formed a band with the members, some of the members of the other band, and they gave concerts there for a while, and then it kind of petered out.
But how could a band, they'd have to play a lot of the same stuff every week. You couldn't be learning brand new music.
Oh, they had some pretty good bands.
Did they?
Yes. You know, they wasn't a very large band, maybe 20, 25 people at the most.
Really?
Yeah. But it was they were good bands.
But it was really popular, huh, John?
Yes, it was. You betcha. Yeah.
Now, do you know who those guys are that are standing
there
in that picture?
No, I've tried to figure out who they might be. The one of them, the fellow here on the left, sort of looks like Bert Parker. Bert Parker was a telegraph operator at the Grand Trunk Depot, but. I wouldn't swear that it is, but it's sort of his size and appearance. I don't know who the other person is. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure. Notice the flat straw hats they were wearing?
Yes.
Hard straw hat.
Yeah. Was that popular then?
It was really something, you bet. The guy got dressed up with one of them and wore it right, tilted a little bit.
Yeah.
It was quite a stylish hat.
Did you ever have one of those,
yeah.
John? Did you?
Sure.
Yeah. You had a couple of pictures of downtown there.
That was during the one of the. Well, here's one.
There's a snowstorm.
But here's one. This is 1918. That one is dated. That was the year of the big snow.
Now, John, what kind of streetlights are those anyway?
Those are four balls on a platform there, and they were. Just a regular light bulb in each one of them.
Was there a master control that turned them on?
Yeah, there is now. I can remember when they put them up, and the night they had a celebration and turned them on for the first time. Yeah, I was just a little kid.
Well, but that looked pretty for the first time,
huh? Yeah, to see the city lighted up with all those.
What did they have before that?
Arc lights.
What's that? What is an arc light?
Carbon lights. In the middle of the street, they had the old-fashioned carbon lights up there. Have you ever seen a?
No, I don't think so. I don't know how that works, John.
Well, you know how a movie projector works or the old-fashioned ones did. I don't know what they still do. When we use when the Qantas their travelogue,
mm-hmm.
They used an arc light in the projector. That's two pieces of carbon. Touching with one on each different polarity on each one on each wire, and it made made the carbon burn. That really caused a bright white light.
Oh, did it?
You betcha.
Well, would that stuff last forever?
Carbons had burned down. Well, all the street lights in town were carbon lights, and they would have to let them. They had them attached with a. Well, they had a lightweight chain, one of these chains made of continuous links. And they would have a pulley up on top of the pole, and the light would, the chain would go up to the center of the street where they had a wire across the street. And the light hung on that, and they'd let it down with this chain, and then they would trim these carbons. They'd have to trim them. They had a pair of pliers or clippers or something, and they'd
mm-hmm.
trim them because as they burned, they began to get a little ash on them, and then they'd flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd have to go around every so often, let that street light down, and clip that carbon. And the kids used to pick up those carbons, and they could ride on the sidewalk with them.
Uh-oh.
Play, what was the game? Hopscotch. That's what it was. They played hopscotch with that. Sure. That was, they could write on the sidewalk with it.
Well, why? Would it scrape the cement, you mean, or did it leave off?
It'd leave black. It'd leave black.
Oh, black.
Sure.
Oh, it would.
Carbon was black. So they made hopscotch frames. What are they? I've forgotten how they played that. You had to jump this way and that way and not touch the lines or something. Boy, we're going back years when you think of that. At least I am. was quite
But who did that? The city?
The city. The city's light department consisted of Bill Strang and Case Wases.
Is that right? They were the department.
They were the department. And they had a push cart, two-wheeled push cart. And it was green, I remember, and they had red wheels on it. And they had written on the side of it, Case and Bill, on the side of it. And they carried a ladder across that cart and all their tools, their climbers and rolls of wire and stuff like that. That was the light department. That's years ago, and their warehouse was in what they call the Boneyard, which was on going back further than that was at the Haymarket.
Yeah,
which,
I never understood that.
Which
now.
Is back of the they just tore all those buildings down on First and Franklin Street, and that's where they were, and they've got a new parking lot in there.
Oh. Because one of the veteran policemen was, it hasn't been that many years ago when I was working. He said, something was up by the Boneyard.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't figure out. Boneyard was a new one on me.
I don't know how it ever got the name Boneyard,
yeah.
Because that's where they kept everything. You could get anything you wanted.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What, did the city own it?
The city owned it, and that was their warehouse for the electric.
Now, this Case and Bill, were they nice guys?
You bet they were.
Were they?
You bet your life they were. Yeah. Bill has a son and I believe two daughters still living, and Case has two daughters still living. Yeah.
Well, because I bet they'd be talking with a lot of people, wouldn't they? If they'd be doing that stuff downtown lowering the streetlights. There aren't that many people driving in cars, and I suppose there's a lot of bystanders.
You didn't have any. Traffic to watch out for in those days. They'd let the street light down. If a horse and wagon came along, they'd go around it all right. There wasn't.
I bet there were a lot of sidewalk superintendents then, weren't there, John?
Yeah, the kids particularly.
I always
used to like to watch them trim those lights because that was quite a trick.
Yeah. But they did have to know. One of your pictures there has got a picture of that little train, that Interurban or whatever it is.
Oh, that was a dummy.
Streetcar or something. Well, now they had to watch out for that, didn't they?
That went down the tracks, of course.
Yeah.
Didn't have any problem there.
Yeah.
That picture that you see there, the car, that's what we call the park car. That ran from the corner of Washington and 3rd to the lake and back.
Oh, just that much, huh?
An open car.
Oh,
once in a while, if there was a Sunday school picnic or something like that, they'd use it to haul the kids up to Fruitport.
Oh.
But that was the summer car, park car. Was no good in the winter.
Yeah.
They did have curtains on it that would let down if it was raining or windy, but otherwise it was strictly a summer outfit.
Yeah. John, somebody was back to that waterfront again. Somebody was asking me to ask you about all those fish houses, and they said there used to be a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Over there.
I said a lot of them,
and they said, I bet there were 40, 50 of them. I said they were. Like a little community or something.
Well, of course, there were some cottages over there, and some.
Were there on the far side?
Yes, some of those fishermen would live there during the summer.
Oh.
And then they didn't have to row back and forth across the river. They'd just move their family over there. Claude Verdine could tell you a lot about that.
Oh, I bet
that.
He could.
Yeah.
Because his family was a fishing
family all their life.
Yeah.
Well, Claude was too.
Yeah.
But sure, there were several cottages across there. They were, I would say kind of meager cottages, but they were all right in the summer, and the fishermen would live over there. They didn't have to row across.
Whatever happened to all those old houses? They just let them?
Well, you know what really happened to them when they decided to build a fountain over there, and on the 4th of July when they had the fireworks, they set them afire.
Oh, didn't they?
And
Chuck Bogalski got to blow up one or two up there, didn't he?
Yeah, and then everybody thought, the fireworks got away from them, but they were burning them purposely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there were half a dozen of them.
Well, now we're
they
all...
used to dry their nets over there, too.
Oh, did they?
But there were some of them on this side, too. Over there where the barn was, or what's... Now the
Meridian?
No, south of the Meridian.
Oh.
Where what's now Centennial Park.
Yes.
That had the fish shanties along there years and years ago. And they used to tie the fish tugs up there, too.
Well, now, were there tugs for all these places on both sides of the river then? Or?
There were several tugs.
Were
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I could name them. The Verdines had a tug, and the Faces had a tug, and the Dornbos had a tug. There was one tug named the H.J. Dornbos, and there was the Edwards. I got a copy of a calendar that was put out by Dornbos Fish House that showed the fleet. Of course, this was a kind of a made-up deal, but it showed all the tugs. They were drawn, or not photographed, but drawn in a group. And it shows all the tugs. There must have been 10 or 15 of them there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That was quite an industry in there in those days.
Wow.
Funny that's all gone. It's funny how things change.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because there are still fish. But I think that things happened with the regulations, too, didn't they?
Sure.
But then
the lamprey eel.
Yeah, the lamprey.
Fixed that.
And then that whole botulism scare, too.
That's right.
Did a lot of damage,
that,
didn't
that
it?
That fixed it for good.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help but think we talk about the change. Our minister, Laird Stewart, of the Presbyterian mm-hmm. Church, had the last two sermons, the last 2 weeks were on change and how things change and you have to swing with the tide and change with it. And couldn't help but think of all of this and what we're talking about now and how all of that has changed and what's best.
Was commercial fishing enough of a business around here that it affected the economy? Was it a good business? Were there a number of people employed?
Business. Well, sure it was. There was, well, we say 10 fish tugs, and each had two or three people on them.
Yeah.
And then there was people drying and mending nets, and they used to have reels where they dried the nets on the shore, and then they mended the nets in these fish shanties.
And did they manufacture, like nets and stuff? Could you buy the supplies and stuff here, too, for commercial fishing, do you think?
I doubt that. I think the nets were made somewhere else, but they were mended here.
And they were?
Yes, it was nets tore, ripped, and they were mended, and that was quite a trick to mend the nets. They had a little shuttle, sort of a thing with a twine on it. They just weave that in there. It was quite a trick,
Now, were there people full-time who would mend nets? I mean, was that a job?
Yeah.
Was that an occupation?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and these fishermen would do that in the wintertime, too. When they couldn't go out, they'd mend nets.
Now, what kind of fish would they get? Mostly the same kind of stuff we get today, with the exception of the salmon?
Yes. Well, mostly what they caught were perch and chubs, what they call chubs, which I'm not a fish eater. I'm not a fisherman.
Oh, boy, so I like smoked chubs, though,
but,
John.
Well, that was the
that's an awful
the big
good,
deal,
yeah.
Smoked chubs.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they smoke them here then, too?
Yes, they did. Dornbos smoked them.
That's right, because that was the biggest... That was the thing that caused the whole problem,
sure.
Wasn't it?
That was the biggest...
That botulism scare.
Biggest fish processing plant in the... along in this side
is
of the...
Is that right?
Country. You betcha. They had quite a crew down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a deal.
But so it was a factor in the economy
wasn't it?
Oh,
sure it was.
By the time you add up all the people who had occupations that were kind of spinoffs
that's
from that.
That's right, sure. Earl Hill had a big tug, and I guess he was the last one that I can recall. Then he quit, and he was captain of one of the car ferries. And he's retired now.
Mm-hmm.
And... sure, he had a... That was a big business.
It was, sir.
Yeah, the smoked fish business was a big business,
well,
too.
Sure,
they used
I know
to
that
ship
was.
Smoked fish all over the country.
Yeah. That's where the problem came
That's
in.
That's right, yeah.
John, our time is gone.
It is,
yep.
Well.
We're going to have to run along.
Okay, we'll do that.
But thank you for coming up this afternoon.
Talking
it was a lot of fun.
We sort of ramble along, but as I say...
We go one direction, then another.
We planned this so well.
Yeah, and took a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, John, a month from now, I hope you can be back here again.
Lord willing, I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here this afternoon.
So long, Doug.
Goodbye.
Bet.
Listen again on the second Tuesday of next month for another chapter from Memories from the Past, a Van Sandwyck Memorial Chapel presentation.